Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome back to Elevated Places, to the Ask Dr. Ava episodes. Pardon me for that brain freeze. The Ask Dr. Ava episode of Elevated Places that airs every Thursday. And it is 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. or 8:01 Eastern Time. Today is October the 23rd. The Nation of Islam is emerging from an incredible Holy Day of Atonement, 2014, uniting the Caribbean through continuing the legacy of our freedom fighters, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. On Sunday, the 19th of October, delivered a major message at the Kingston National Arena, calling for the black man and woman in the Caribbean to unite in the face of Western onslaught and Western exploitation. The current edition of the Final Call newspaper, dated October the 28th, 2014, has beautiful and extensive coverage. I know that many of you that are calling in and listening, we're blessed to go to Kingston, Jamaica. Those of us who were not able to make it were blessed through technology to be able to witness the beautiful webcast and to see the ocean of black faces that were listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we all were swelling with pride at the delivery of presentations. Our student national MGT captain, a native of Haiti, her appeal to understand the role of the woman was absolutely phenomenal. It was incredible. And to see brothers like student minister Hillary Muhammad, the UK representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whose parents hail from Jamaica, brother student minister Hugh Muhammad, our event planner, brother Adima Muhammad, all of these brothers and sisters are from the Caribbean. And of course, and I'm not even naming, we have many, many, many believers who are rooted there, but the father of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is from Jamaica, and his mother was born in St. Kitts. And just to listen and to see the connection that was made instantly between the leader of the nation, those who spoke, and then the brothers and sisters from Jamaica who brought their strong and powerful words. And as the night goes, I definitely want to hear from all of you. But Brother Terrence Muhammad, Brother Terrence the Traveler, I just want to say to you that we are so glad you made that journey so that you can give us the eyewitness account. But I want to say to you, Brother Terrence, and to the brothers and sisters that are tuning in to blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces or who have called in to us on our line 347-324-5091, that I had tears in my eyes when that video presentation of all of the revolutionary heroes.
Oh my God.
It's getting me emotional now. So what I'm going to do is turn this mic over to you so that you can give us a briefing on this incredible adventure. This is history. I think the only thing that exceeds this is the Million Man March itself. This was unbelievable. But tell us your take as one who was on the ground.
Well, you know, I didn't know how this particular call was going to be tonight, and I just seek a refuge in Allah to guide me in the notes that I'm going to share in just the brief time that I have, because it's so much. I am so full. And I say that because, as we all know, the start of me even getting to Jamaica, I'd like to back up just the fact that one of the things, as people know, or some people know, that my extensive travels, not just with Minister Farrakhan, but across the country in my community activism and working with black leaders across the country, and the only leader or quote-unquote that's in position as a black male that has the command and the attention of people to follow him is the President of the United States, period. And I say that because as the president moves, because he's the president, he has people that have a job as the Secret Service and those in his staff that have to go because this is their job, and they go because they serve at the will of the president in their capacity, in their job, and in their career. There is no other man, black man in America, that is in some form of leadership that where he goes, his whole organization goes, no matter where he travels and where he speaks. So you may see a Jesse Jackson, but you do not see the whole body of the Rainbow Push going to where he goes, or Al Sharpton, the whole National Action Network, going to where he goes in hundreds or thousands of his following. So the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and just when he has traveled the country at the notion, as the word just got out in the grapevine that he's going, he might be somewhere 2 months later, we will start making reservations. At the glimpse or hearing that he was coming to Jamaica, people started looking for flights that night a year ago. So, and I start like that is because we love this man so much that we will go where he says go, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to do. So, you know, when I was able to get my passport and get on a plane to Jamaica, and I went through customs, you know, I landed and I put it on Twitter and Facebook, I thanked Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for making me international. A lot of people do it their first time going out of the country. Now, could we have gone out the country before? Yes. But most of us would not have worked and tried and struggled to make, or whatever way we did it, to get into Jamaica if we wouldn't have heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so you didn't just see a couple people coming. You saw believers all over the place. When I arrived at the host hotel, I just saw garments of beauty, believers, soldiers. When I got out of the Jamaica airport, or when I was in Florida, when I was in Miami on my layover, I saw Minister Rockman. I saw Student Minister Tony. You know, I saw believers waiting in the airport. I saw Sister Fatima waiting to get on the plane to get to Jamaica, and landed in Jamaica. And as soon as I got out to Jamaica, my student regional secretary was there to greet me with, and my own personal student secretary in my city was there to show me, you know, I didn't have it leave it by chance. I saw a face, and he guided me to the bus shuttles and let me know what shuttle I needed to go on, what I needed to do. So I thank all of the national labels for every little detail that they made necessary to cover to make sure that we had a perfect transition from the airports, from the shuttles to the hotels. And, you know, so we arrived to our hotels, and our host there, the Jamaican brothers and sisters there, was so wonderful, so joyous. And it was interesting as we drove rode from the airport to the hotel just to see the poverty in Jamaica. So that hit me. And also, but seeing the landscape and the beauty. So some of the times we really take for granted what we have, and we are very critical about where we live in America and the injustices to the black man and woman. But as the minister said, this is our home, and I love America for the benefits and the amenities that we have here that we take for granted lots of times, and we see that when we go to other countries. So, and I had to get used to the cars being on the left side of the road driving. Every time I got in the car, it still just kind of messed with my head because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But it was still a beautiful thing. It was a blessing to train in the martial arts where our student national trainer and student captain of the Central Region Grandmaster Anthony, we trained out in the back at the host hotel and doing martial arts there. And then we was graced by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He came down into the host hotel, the Pegasus Hotel, and he greeted the believers. All the believers just in the lobby, and the minister greeted different believers, saw these believers, and he sat down and had his meeting. And then he went outside and had another meeting. And just to be in the midst and to be part of that blessed team, to be able to guard his front, his back, and all of his sides, you know, it's always an honor to be walking with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and be a part of that team to help secure him, and just to see the joy of the believers, to see their brother coming in the lobby of the hotel. And as I'm pulling this stuff together, I do just remember when you said about Sister Sandy. You know, and I say this in the most respectful manner, but I fell deeper in love with our student Sister National MGT captain in the sense of when it was a Saturday that I saw these droves of MGT in their garments, these different colors of garments, and they all was lined up getting on buses with cards to invite guests out to the Sunday lecture. I mean, you saw, I mean, I just, like, where are all these sisters coming from? I mean, they was lying down the hotel, coming out of the doors, and just lines and lines. They was counting them off. Gets load the bus, this load the bus, waiting for the next bus to come, loading up sisters to go out to our communities. And I got a report that one brother was so overwhelmed when he saw Sister Sandy and the brother. He tried to reach and just tried to grab and touch Sister Sandy, but the Vanguard, of course the FOI was around, but the Vanguard quickly made sure, you know, the brother was like, no, I don't want you, sister, I want her. But it was that they were just overwhelmed. And the believers were so happy that they was going out. I've never seen so much joy of the believers ready to go out in the streets to be with their people, to give them the card, to let them know about Farrakhan, the teaching, the videos, the pictures. I mean, the joy and the spirit was so high, and she delivered such a beautiful, beautiful representation of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and her delivery on that Sunday, as you said, Brother Hillary. And then to see the Rastafari brothers and sisters in the audience bearing witness to the teachings, it was just a magnificent reality. And I just close out because
we'll keep talking about the separation piece. We'll keep talking about various aspects. It was so profound and layered and powerful. And I do want to say to your point, and out of the very, very in-depth final call report, everybody's got to get the final call. But one of the things in Brother Ishad's report on the economic condition of Jamaica, and of course Minister Farrakhan addressed reparations, and we were blessed here to be able to play live 1 hour of the delivery here on WVON in Chicago, and then, of course, direct people to NOI.org to get it live. And technology is so incredible. It's incredible that we have it in the fullness of time to be able to see and hear this incredible program. But I just wanted to let us know, if we weren't aware of it, and this is why the minister went out of his way to talk to our brothers and sisters about the relationship with England, because they, like us, have been under the rule of the Caucasian and shaped and molded in the idea of white superiority and black inferiority. And there's just no one else walking this earth other than God's man, and that's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to bring that to our people. And just from the article in the Final Call, just some facts, that Jamaica became a British colony in 1655. It achieved independence August 6th of 1962, but it remains within the Commonwealth with British monarch Queen Elizabeth II as its head of state. 3 million people in Jamaica, fifth largest island in the Caribbean, 16% of the population below poverty. 18% of Jamaican births are to teenage mothers. The illiteracy is horrific. 15 to 24, age 24, black males, 26% illiterate. 8% of females illiterate. And then it reads here in the Final Call, unattached youth, those who are not in school, who are unemployed, not participating in any training course, comprise roughly 30% of the total youth population, and about 25% of youth had attained only a ninth grade level of education or less. So it's a mirror, Brother Terrence, and of course Dr. Ridgely, who has joined us. It's a mirror of us. And I want to go to get some comments from Dr. Ridgely on the message itself, and then go to the phones. And Brother Terrence, we want you to keep allowing us to get from you the on-the-ground insight on each point. But I just want to lift this from the minister's message. And he said this: you may wonder, and let me just stop and say, to your point about the MGT and the photography in the Final Call is so great in showing the beautiful colors that the sisters were wearing, and to introduce our people to the Muslim woman in a way that they have not been introduced to her before. And when the minister said that, and I didn't know this till he said it, that Haiti is rejected even by her fellow Caribbean islands, black people on the islands. See, Haiti has been ostracized because Haiti kicked the white man out.
Right.
And she's been punished and sanctioned ever since.
That's right.
And there's no way, of course, we know there is no such thing as a coincidence, but for our national student MGT captain to be from Haiti and speak to the people in that fashion, you just can't tell me that we are not following a man of God and we're not in the fullness of time. I mean, everything that's happening, every minute, we're not talking prophecy anymore. We're not talking about what's coming up. What happened there, this is it here. That was not a speech. That was a commander-in-chief. We're not an organization. We're a nation.
That's
why I want to quote the minister. He says, you may wonder, talking to, and he said basically to the Christians, he said, you may wonder, who are we? We are the Nation of Islam. We are here to reform the whole world of religion, because the whole world of religion has failed to civilize humanity and cause them to walk with the righteous path of the prophets. Religion needs to be reformed. Going to, and to your point, Brother Terrence, of in the streets, see, he says going to the church is fine. Going to the mosque or masjid is fine. Going to the synagogue is fine. Going to any place of worship is fine. But the problem is not with those who believe. The problem is in the streets. And if we are not actively engaged where the crime is, where the violence is, where the decadence is, where the need is, then we are not with Jesus. We are not with Moses and the prophets, nor are we with Muhammad. Peace be upon these worthy servants of God. Yes, sir.
No, and it's beautiful that you said that, because one of the things that was, you know, fascinating when we say in the streets, I know brothers from Canada was here in Jamaica and they was in the streets. And like I said, the joy of them being in the streets. And going back to the issue of the poverty piece, which was really surprising, there was a point in the lecture, and, you know, I'm, you know, working the stage, but then at one point the minister is teaching, and you know, and I'm, you know, it's multiple things going on as we're watching stuff, and then I see the droves of people leaving out, and I'm like, the minister didn't say his conclusion, and they just going out. So of course, you know, I got to go and do an investigation, figure out what's going on, and when I go out, I learn that the people were running out not because something the minister said wrong, but he said, I have the secret relationship between blacks and Jews for you for free.
Right.
And as soon as he said for free, I've never seen a lecture where droves of people just I thought somebody had done something, a fight broke out, or somebody gave the order, everybody get up and walk out. But they literally was looking for the book. And we had to let everybody come back in. They were looking, but then I learned, because of the poverty, someone was teaching me about Jamaica. It's like the determination of food or a book. You know, what are we gonna choose? What are we gonna do? So I don't think people understood why the minister did what he did and the significance about that. But the people wanted that book, and he didn't take up a public collection. And he said, everything I have is free. And for me, when we say no public collection, I was with our the team that works with our student national secretary. We was like, what? They were shocked. We didn't know what to do because we were used to working. But the minister's heart, the minister's love, his concern for their liberation, that he said, I give all to you free. And just to see them wait in the lines afterwards to receive and to get their free gift, and we made sure that we sent more. You know, it's just a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, here comes the dog.
Yes, sir.
Here comes.
You know, I want to talk a lot about the greatness of the speech in the moment, but Minister Farrakhan said something that I had to think over, and I think is important that we consider. You know, he said that, because they're dealing with this whole thing of poverty, and why, you know, the black people down there are not farming anymore. He said that 40 years ago, the Jamaican dollar was $1.20 for every American dollar. But now it takes $100 to make one American dollar.
Right.
Now the question is, how did that happen? And what is the effect on the people of that happening? You know, you can work all you want. As a farmer, I do that. But when you go and sell your product, if your product does not cover the cost of production, if your costs are going up faster than the price, no matter how good a farmer you are, you're in trouble. Now, I'm an economist, and I know why Jamaica accepted a proposition. Like Mr. Farrakhan also talked about that economic hitman as to how he comes to a country and convinces you to get involved with the IMF and these loans and so forth. And what happened is, as in theory, in economics, they say you have a comparative advantage of producing a certain product. Let's say like in Jamaica, say bananas, okay? So you should put all your efforts in producing that comparative product, and then you would want your dollar to devaluate somewhat so that you can export more of your bananas to America. Now, of course, when your dollar is deflated, you can sell more product, but then the products that you buy from America become more expensive. What economic theory says, well, that means that that gives an opportunity for your producers of those products to produce, to compete with the American product, because they can sell it cheaper because now you have this type of tariff through the devaluation of your dollar. Now, that's the theory, but it never works out for the black countries. It only winds up that the devaluation. I was in Liberia in 2000. It was 40 Liberian dollars to make one American dollar. So in the Jamaican now, it's 100. So what happens is it's not worth even working because you can't buy the things you want from America, but your manufacturing sector cannot produce those same things in competition with America because you don't have the capital base. Your manufacturing is not that capital intensive enough to compete. So you still have more labor intensive. So in the end, what you do is making yourself a slave to the West, a slave to America, and that's what's happened to Jamaica. They removed from where they had an independent economy within Jamaica. Now they're attached to America and to Britain, and they're being drained through the devaluation of their dollar, where the people are actual slaves to Europe, slaves to America. And this is why they're not working, because it ain't worth working. You can't get anything with the money. I'm sorry to get long with that one, but this is what's going on, and it's no fault of the people the Jamaican people, but the leadership accepted the ideas of an American economist. Many times Jamaicans trained in America, like I was trained, to believe these concepts. But those concepts never work for us because the white man always cheats.
Mm. Absolutely. That's right. We have to step out of his paradigm. We have to.
Completely.
Because they're going to always change the rules of the game or the strategy.
That's right.
Every time we start making progress, and that's what you're describing. That's how we went from the $1.25 to a dollar, now 100 Jamaican dollars to equal an American dollar. And when you're talking about currency, you're talking about paper,
right,
which has no intrinsic value.
Right.
Right.
A dollar bill is just a symbol of how much influence you exert in the society that you're spending that dollar in. It's just a symbol of how
right.
much weight you carry.
Right.
So when you have somebody that's Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire, she has satisfied white people to the point where they have allotted her that level of weight so she can move around in this society and
right.
obtain that which she wants. And I love what you're saying, Dr. Rizzi, because part of the jobless problem, and that's why I get upset with these Negroes who are begging white people for jobs on our behalf that we're not asking for. Because we're not asking to go out here and slave for 10, 12, 16 hours, and then we still got to go get in line and get food stamps.
Come on.
See, how dare you ask for that on our behalf? Because
that's
as
right.
you just said, Dr. Rizzi, even if you offer me a position, what you're really offering me is a return to slavery.
That's right.
I'm just as well off hustling. And one brother said in the interview with Brother Shad in the final call, he said, first of all, he was saying how Jamaica is not independent, as the minister pointed out to them, and he said their population count is not accurate because you have so many black people out in the countryside. And he said there's places in Jamaica he has here, you can only get there on a donkey.
Mm.
All right. And then he says Jamaica is a popular transfer and transit route for South American narcotics to the United States, and it is the largest Caribbean producer and exporter of marijuana. And see, it goes back to what the minister said to the people and what he said, because, of course, this isn't his first visit, obviously, to the Caribbean. He's like Master Father Mom. He's been in and out of the Caribbean for 40 years. See, so, but it culminates with, it's like this time he made himself known.
That's right.
To the people on a major scale. But the point of the matter is, black, we're just a playground for white folks down there.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
They come down there play.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's got to be brought to an end. And that is why, which we'll deal with next week, but that's why Malcolm is back. The Malcolm assassination is back.
Right.
Okay. This is why certain things are starting to occur, because every time the minister begins to arouse the people, here they come. But what they're missing is that this is the absolute end for them, no matter what they do. But we got Brother Sidney, who has a comment and a question. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Oh, thank you, sir. One leg of salam. I love y'all, and you can't do nothing about it. I tell you,
I love this thing.
Yeah. You know, it goes back to the teaching. Why do we love the devil? Because he give us nothing. Now, look at all the black athletes and you have entertainers. Why don't we just have a day that we can say we're going to pay tribute to our ancestors and have Let My People Go program or something like that. And don't even play sports on Christmas. Stop playing sports at all. Just say, we ain't going to play sports. Everybody don't even come on the field. You know, because these colleges that they pimping these young children out here that's, you know, playing sports and they getting paid for nothing. This athlete that played for the Georgia Bulldogs, he was trying to make money signing an autograph, you know, and he got caught. But the thing over there, they suspended him indefinitely. But when a black man start making money off his own in these colleges, there's always a penalty for that.
That's right.
And look at all the money they make off of these college students. And you ain't getting nothing but a certificate at the end of the year or something when you graduate. That's it. But one other thing, too. I want you, Sister Abel, to do a lecture on pointing out the devil. Who is this devil? See, because we don't know who the devil is still after all of this. So I was thinking of John chapter 8, verse 40, all the way down when Jesus said, you are the children of your father, the devil. And it kind of wrapped my mind around that verse because Jesus was pointing out exactly who they was.
That's right.
So we need to look at this thing a little bit more closer because people, we black folks just don't get it. We're making ourselves a slave for nothing. And we
really
got power.
It's voluntary now. It's voluntary servitude.
We don't have to play football for them. We don't have to play basketball for them. We can start our own Negro League. Like, they didn't want us in the beginning back in the days. They even played for white folks.
That's right.
So reverse that. Since they won't pay us all money that they owe us, 40 acres and 2 mules, okay, we'll just have a day. We ain't going to play nothing on Christmas. Damn that. You know, just we ain't going to play nothing. That's what I have on my mind.
Well, that's an excellent point. Thank you, Brother Sidney. That is awesome. And, of course, we have the Jesus among us breaking it down.
Right.
Time and what must be done.
That's
he
right.
explained exactly what these people are, where they came
right.
from. See, he went on the internet with the supreme wisdom.
That's right.
That's right.
That's how you know we're at the end. You don't need to go to
mm-hmm.
class too many more days, because the class is now the globe. And he went down there and he took on the Pope. You
yes,
know,
sure
and,
did.
And he read them scared Negroes from there, because all of us have, we all are dealing with house Negroes everywhere we are. Otherwise, this whole
right.
plantation system wouldn't work. And he told them house Negroes, he said, see, I'm born to deal with the Pope.
Right.
They were shaking in their boots because he brought him up.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
that's right.
We have that man among us today. He's explaining to us who the devil is, and he's telling the devil who the devil is.
Right. That's right.
And they know who they are. Brother Terrence?
We have to figure out a way to get the people
yes,
to look at the time of what must be done. In other words, you know, we do things and then we're done. But we have to market that. We have to promote that.
Right.
We have to keep pushing
that's
it.
Right.
Because it's there on the internet, but you got to get people to look at it. We got to figure out a way to get the people to turn it on.
Well, we
and,
have
you know,
to do what the enemy does, you know, and we're told to study the white man, how he does business. And see, what the white man does is he keeps his talk shows on
mm-hmm.
24/7.
Mm.
And
right.
he brings his ideology and theology and to the people, his belief system of white superiority, but he does it through the news, entertainment,
right.
food, sports. You can't always come at the people direct.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to them where they
culture.
Are.
Right.
That's right.
Culture. And see,
right.
we got to pull our people out from under the hypnotic effect of the devil. And we have all that. We just have to support each other in it. We have rappers. We have singers, artists, writers. We have engineers, chefs, educators, economists, mathematicians. You name it. There's nothing that the Nation of Islam doesn't have. What we have to do now is what he said to the Caribbean, unity. We have
mm-hmm.
to break from what white people taught us, which is every man for himself. See, that's a concept
right.
we learn from white people. That is not a universal
right.
principle.
That's right.
Your liver is not out there by itself.
That's
and
right.
even
right.
though we only have one brain, and the brain runs everything, and yet, if your liver goes down, everything's going down with the liver.
That's right.
See, everything is going down with the heart. And that is how Allah created the universe, a synergy, a unity, a system, as the minister taught, I think it was 2013, Savior's Day. See, so we got to come out of the white man's mentality, which teaches us every man for himself. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches do for self, yourself is all
come
of
on.
Us.
That's right. Come on.
It's all of us. It's not a single
right.
cell. You can't have a human
right.
body and all you got is an ear.
Come on.
Or one eye. I don't care how awesome the eye is.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It can't. It's useless by itself if it's not connected. But we've got Dr. Salam. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam, family. Oh,
this is
yes, it's good to hear your voice, dear Queen. And Dr. Risley, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And the unseen Mahdi, the flight lieutenant. The flight lieutenant said something I hadn't heard him say in a long time. He said, I was on the ground. I had boots on the ground. The Jamaicans are still talking about that big pancake in the sky. They said, we saw the pancake. We saw the pancake, man. I said, no, that was that plane.
Awesome.
Well, look, I'll be brief on this, but I was not able to go. I stayed with mother, who was quite ill, but I sent my assistant Ashley and her sister. And they put tears in my eyes when they came back. They said, you know, two of them had been to Mars 55 and the study group down in South Haven, but they said they thought the sisters always wore white. They said the sisters had so many different colors on out there. She said they just took pictures after pictures, and they took them to their church. Listen to this now. They took them to their church and posted them. They had them on some kind of screen. This is a real fancy church, so they put them up on the screen and everything. Where the whole church did not have church that day. They looked at our sisters, that just brought tears to my eyes. But I want to hear what others are going to say. I just want to say this one thing about our beloved minister. Most pastors don't even think about preaching or teaching anywhere near the age of 80. This brother is drawing a crowd. He draws the whole city.
Come on.
And people just don't understand. And when I see Brother Terrence, anyone I speak of a lot, I love. I love you, brother. I love each one of you.
You too, black man.
But when I see young men like yourself and others can't wait to do something with and for the minister, it's a feeling that you don't even have to be there to witness the spirit and the love, that the believers have for our minister. And, brother, I thank you for all that you do and for all that Dr. Rizzi does with the farm. And, Dr. Ava, you are definitely, definitely a sister soldier. You know, I've told you were the most powerful black woman on the planet. I wasn't saying that to get any favor from you or to get any amen. You earn that.
That's right.
So, dear family, I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest because I want to hear some more of these testimonies.
Thank
I'll try my Lakeham.
Wow, Lakeham Salam. And I'm going to say, I can only say this, that even just looking at pictures, and I hope there's video of this, but I'm looking at the pictures. You just have to get the final call if you don't have it. And I've just never seen anything like this with Dr. Salam, what he said about the colors, that I'm looking at the MGT out in the streets, as Brother Terrence was testifying to, downtown Kingston. It is absolutely stunning, stunning. And when you think of the black woman on an auction block being sold, and then Master Fadhrat Muhammad came, you can't tell me you don't believe God came. Or if you can't roll with that, at least say a superior knowledge, okay? Just forget spirit. If you just have any intellect, where do you see women on this planet look like this? And they have on the colors, powder blue, there's hot pink, pale pink, lemon yellow. Sister Captain looks like a mango orange. I mean, these are like luscious colors. And they're colors that only black people can carry, if you follow me. Lavender, green, white. I mean, you just name it. It just makes you want to be right. That's what it does. It is a taste of the hereafter. And see, now just I'm looking at pictures. I don't even know what it must have been like to see this actually happening. I'm going off looking at pictures.
And just to jump off it, and I'm glad you said what you said. You were the lush. I mean, it was exactly that. I mean, the sisters were. I mean, the sisters were glowing. I mean, it was just like every sister, the beauty, and it's not just, I mean, the garments, the colors, you in Jamaica, the colors, but then it's a beauty that's undescribable because these sisters are not uncovered. These are fully covered. So when you saw someone that was uncovered, yeah, but when you saw someone uncovered, they're like, ugh. But when you saw the beauty of the sisters covered, it was beyond. And I did do a little video, and the video was just of sisters lying in a straight line, one single file line, going all the way back down the hallway, and they were just lined up getting on the bus. And I just did a little video. I don't know how about over about 100 people done shared that video. And it's only about 10 to 20 seconds long. But just to see the beauty of them walking in all the garments, I mean, it will blow your mind. Like I said, the men of Jamaica were just in awe. It was just a fascination with the beauty. And I have to go back to Brother Salam. That has a brother named Brother Kareem. I'm not sure if he's from Atlanta, down south. But he was helping Brother Adama. And when I showed up Sunday morning, you know, I'm always there before everybody shows up. And the whole auditorium was just empty. I mean, it was not empty. It had chairs that we had to redo. And this young brother was helping me reset all of the chairs in their auditorium. And just to see him at a young age helping, seeing some of the younger brothers coming up, working on the security team, seeing some of the younger brothers, I mean, just the energy and, like Brother Salam said, our willingness and love and desire to want to help. You know, you had brothers, I mean, I thank over and over and over for those unseen soldiers, those unseen sisters that you don't see that was up all night watching the motorcade, up all night securing the hotel, up all night doing whatever it was necessary to be done. Thank the drivers. Oh, my God. Thanking the team for learning, going to Jamaica and learning how to drive and holding it down on a security tail in an entourage on the left side of the road. Just doing that. We're outside at a concert where Mother Khadija was there, and she was being the most gracious host. And they had artists, old school reggae artists, coming off to the stage after they performed and coming over to where Mother was just to greet her and just to take pictures. And their Jamaican TV was recording it. I mean, just the beauty of the people and them loving the beauty of the nation. And as the minister said, we are. And when you could just see the crowd absorb, when you say we are the Nation of Islam and what we have to offer, I mean, when you say you had tears looking at the video, just the majesty of that sight, that, and it hit me so real when we was at that concert where I was like, hold up, I'm listening to reggae music on the island of Jamaica. And it that's what it really hit me. I was like, wow. And it's all because of this man, Minister Farrakhan. So when he talked to us about he wanted to take back to Jamaica the image of what repair looks like as the conversation of reparations, I think the people of Jamaica got a very beautiful glimpse of what repair looks like in our brothers and sisters as we traveled through the city of Kingston.
Yes, sir. Well, they've been chosen. See, that's the point. And remember, he said it's a pearl. And he said, you're in the sunshine, the physical sun, but I want you to bask in the light of God today.
Mm.
See, they've been tapped to lead everybody in the area. And you know what else I love? Oh, my God, that map. When he said, oh, don't leave out Venezuela, okay?
Right.
Guyana,
yes.
and Cuba. And I
yes.
mean, oh my, see, he, look, he's claiming.
Whew.
This wasn't no speech.
That's right.
This is the
That's
commander-in-chief of God's army
yes.
laying claim
yes.
to the
That's
black
right.
man's
yes.
territory, cream of the planet Earth,
exactly.
God of the universe. So thank you for that, Brother Terrence. We got Brother Khalifa, who has a comment.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Man. Yeah, man. Assalamu alaikum. I'm so excited.
Waalaikum
salam.
Go to Jamaica, and when we landed and got on the shuttle, I met Brother Don from Detroit and Brother Student Minister from College Park, Atlanta, and driving in.
Stanley,
my wife,
that's right.
In shock, and just how the conditions were that our people live under. we passed by two prisons. Looked like something out of a Clint Eastwood movie. Double razor wire, triple razor wire. I don't know if that's the prison that Minister Nouri and Minister Ishmael spoke at, but we came on in to the host hotel, and the people were just so amazed that seeing the Muslims and the sisters and all of their beautiful garments and everything, it was just so so exciting. And then when we got ready to come back home, I met the brother Derek from number 75 in Las Vegas. He knew a Jamaican brother, so we paid him to drive us to Montego Bay. So we were driving Tuesday, going to Montego Bay. It's up north, about 120 miles. And believe me, it was just so beautiful to see, and you go through all these old parishes and whatnot, and it reminded me of the South back in 1914, 1920. I mean, during that part, they don't even have water. They stay in little shacks-like. But everything when you see, you can see pineapples growing. You can see coconuts, bananas, oranges, all those stands and stuff. You've seen the youngsters just jumping off, diving off into the crystal clear water, swimming and everything. And we were going through this winding road up the mountains and down, and no lights. If you go at night, you got to be an expert driver. And believe me, we come to one part that was so enchanting that I'm going to research, but I think that's where they shot part of the movie Avatar. And while we were driving, guess who we passed by driving? They were up in front of us. We saw Brother Secretary Byrd. He was out, had on his Jamaican shirt with our beautiful sister standing at this location we passed by taking pictures. It was just that enchanting. I mean, it's so, so beautiful. And then when we got to Montego Bay, now, mind you, this is on Tuesday, 2 days after the minister spoke that Sunday, and we could see the impact that it had on the Jamaicans there in Montego Bay, because they were watching it on TV and everything. And it just seemed to be where they were just waiting there at bay for, you know, to take off. So just imagine 5 months from now, 6 months, 12 months from now, how this thing will build up. And the last thing I want to say is, also, we got to remember that we had the enemy there on vacation, 8 days, 10 days. So the minister was there a week before, and they saw him on television laying the wreaths to our heroes and stuff there. And they also tuned in, you can believe, that Sunday. And when we saw them at the airport, you know how a person looks with fear in their eyes? I mean, they actually had fear in their eyes because they knew a powerful message had come to the Jamaican people. When the minister gave the information about the papal bull, when Pope Nicholas V decreed that papal bull where he can go and kill our people and everything, look, it was so I'm so fired up, I'm so inspired. It was just so beautiful. I mean, I'm excited now. And I talked with Doc earlier. I told him after this program was over, I got to go out to the airport and get our luggage. Our luggage is still coming in tonight to Kansas City because I got to finish off some Minister of Agriculture business with Doc. But believe me, sisters and brothers, it was so beautiful, and we're so blessed to have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because if we did not have him, all of us, I repeat, all of us would be pelts, actual skins on the enemy's wall.
You know that's right. You know that's right. Because, you know, Brother Khalifa's making me think of, and you said it earlier, thank you, Brother Khalifa, for that testimony. You know, you made me think of it earlier, too, Brother Terrence, about even with those of us who traveled before coming in the nation. I traveled out of the country, but I traveled blind. I when I went to other countries and when I went to the Caribbean, I went to the tourist areas and laid on the beach.
Right.
And went to the nightclubs and the bars and the, you know what I'm saying? So I was a skin on a prize.
Right.
Deaf, dumb, and blind. White people happy to see you because they know you belong to them.
Right.
All you want is after working for them day and night and giving them your brain, then you go and spend money in hotels and clubs and all that that they profit from. And you're completely
right.
Dead. You're the living dead. So I have to bear witness. It's not only the physical travel, it's the enlightenment. And what the man said in the Bible, I was blind, and now I can see.
That was
awesome. But we got Brother Lewis calling in from Baton Rouge. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How y'all doing?
We're doing awesome.
Great.
Sister Ava, every week I listen to the show with my little boy, and they're just dying to give you the greetings.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava.
I'm
the South, and we made up our own company. It's called Grow Dirt, and one day we're going to be great land developers and English and engineers, and we can build our own nation.
Oh, my God. All praise is due to Allah. I'm hugging you through the phone. Our future is secure, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
Somebody
Ava, we were not out in Jamaica. We were actually in Georgia for the 19th anniversary of the Million Man March, and it was just incredible because it just crystallized on me why the minister released the secret relationship between blacks and Jews in the state of Georgia, and how not only merciful the minister is, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a tremendously beneficent man. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that do for self is not in your do for selfishness or individualism.
Right.
And so we were able to reconnect with some family roots, and we were going to come on Dr. Ridgely's show on Saturday and talk about the theorists versus the practical application of the messenger's teachings, how much more integration can we bear. And so, you know, I really see how the minister is bringing all of us together, and we just got to push harder. Like you were saying earlier with these talk shows, everybody should have this show everywhere so that they can really hear the message. And the message should be rhythmic, like a drum beat. You know, they ban the drum on the plantation, ban prayer, because
That's
they don't
right.
want us to repeat the message, because the message has a high frequency. And if people could actually hear the message, all of our people would agree.
That's
so
right.
We,
That's right.
We want to put the message out there. But we love the show, and we're really enjoying it. May Allah bless y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, you've blessed us, you and those angels. Oh, my God. That was
yes.
the best thing
yes.
that happened to me today. Minister Farrakhan. My Lord.
And I just want to repeat what Brother Lewis said in terms of
yes.
this Saturday, Blog Talk Radio, NOIMOA, at 7 Central and 8 Eastern. He's going to be on to talk about his experience at this brother's establishment, who's actually teaching entrepreneurship to even Africans and to black Americans. He has a 140-acre school, and he's a developer. It's incredible. He's doing what we talk about doing. So he's going to talk about that Saturday thing.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. We're going to go to Washington, D.C. now, to the Capitol. Sister Joella.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava. Oh, Sister Ava.
Wow.
Your praises due to Allah for the honorable. Oh, I just love you. And,
you
know,
back.
It's a blessing. And Dr. Ridgely, thank you so much for the experience at the farm. And, you know, it was just a blessing for you and Sister Ann to open up your home to us. And we just can never forget. And you see the fruits or hear the fruits of your labor with Brother Lewis's children coming on and saying what they want to become. And I think they got that experience from the farm this last Founders Day. So all praise is due to Allah for that.
Yes, ma'am. Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. But I want to talk about the flight lieutenant because Allah blessed us. Allah blessed my husband and me to attend the Holy Day of Atonement in Jamaica, and I know it was him who, you know, just granted us the opportunity to go. But I wanted to say that I am just so happy that Brother Terrence was able to make it, because this brother is just a jewel, and I'm so glad that he's your co-host along with Dr. Ridgely, because he was on stage Sunday wiping down the podium. I mean, you know, just humbly doing that, and then another brother, I think he was Jamaican, came up and wanted to help him. But the jewel was that when he was helping one of our pioneers, Brother Rahman, in the airport and taking him around and just nurturing him and helping. So, Brother Terrence, all praise is due to you for all your work that you do. And may Allah continue to bless us on this show. And we were talking about growing, so we need to get started in terms of separation, because now the minister has put it there, and it's no excuse that we should not really continue to think about separation. So may Allah continue to bless us, and thank you for giving me this time. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, thank you for your testimony. Brother Terrence, I guess what's being said is that you don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk. That's
you know,
what I just heard.
And don't you say that, Doc. But, you know,
no, man, it ain't like.
No, but, you know, it was, you know, some of the things that she brought up and something that someone else said. I do want to point out that when I was up on the stage and I looked off to the right, it was so profound to see a sea of white. It reminded me of the Savior's Day with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You look on those side bleachers and just a sea of white MGT in the white, and that's the thing, the vision that I saw then. But it was an honor and a pleasure when I was going back into the country, and I was leaving out, and Rahman was in my shuttle, and to have the honor and the privilege of caring, you know, for a pioneer, and it wasn't part of my quote-unquote program or my schedule, but I was like, man, how can I not take care of Brother Rahman? How can I not do all that I can do when I know there's people that have suffered and paid a price for us to be where I am? So I'm, you know, it's like I'm indebted. So when I show up at that event, it is an honor, you know. And literally, before I even got to Jamaica, I felt like, if you ever see an image or a movie of a crackhead scratching because they kind of get their fits, that's how I was before Jamaica. I had to get, I was like scratching. I got to my hotel room. When I got there, I threw my bags down. I didn't unpack. I threw my bags down. I had to immediately find something to do, some work to get into, because, you know, we serve literally at the pleasure of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we want the believers to be happy, to enjoy themselves, and to just enjoy this beauty of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us and what he has offered unto us. And it's just the beauty. Like you said, you have a different eye. When I was in Jamaica, you know, we were always taught all general orders are in effect and to always be on alert. But, you know, I walked the streets of Jamaica as we was going to different restaurants and just, you know, just seeing our people, just seeing the condition of our people, seeing how our people live, seeing how our people are, you know, it really, really, really touches you. And I know after the lecture of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I was grabbing brothers and I was grabbing folks like, come on, take a picture with me, take a picture with me, because Minister Farrakhan unifies us. And I think that's one of the things that people should recognize and understand about the Nation of Islam. We embody and we embrace all of our people. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan never pushes anybody away for them being Rastafarian. As he said in his late lecture, he said the Rastafarians eat, the Christians eat, the Muslims eat, you know. So he's trying to have this economic blueprint that it encompasses all of our people, that we can unite under something that's common to all of us. And it's just a beautiful thing. So I never want to be known as one that sits and watches the lecture. I never want to be one that's known that just comes in and takes the tours and just relax. I definitely always want to be known doing the work, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, die on your post. And that's what we all should see until we see the rise of our people. And even then, maintaining that.
Yes, sir. Well, all praise is due to Allah. And I want to read something, too, from Mother Tynetta Muhammad. And her article this week is entitled "The Nature of the White Race or Jinn Class of Beings and Their Opposition to the Black Man and Indigenous Family on Our Planet." And she has a drawing on her page of the first slave ship trafficking our forefathers in 1555. And so she is speaking of coming to the end of 459 years of enslavement. And I just want to share her words. "As we end the 19th anniversary of the Holy Day of Atonement and the Million Man March commemorated in Kingston, Jamaica on October 19th, the invigorating words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, shared with millions of people throughout the Caribbean and the world, brought solace and hope to our downtrodden masses. His words were indelibly inscribed in our hearts and minds as one of the most impacting addresses of the minister's worldwide mission in the mental resurrection of our dead nation and people. As the great helpmeet of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he delivered his most timely message to the Isles of the Caribbean and to a world of trouble which has never been seen before." And I just think it's so powerful, brothers, that she refers to Minister Farrakhan in capital letters as the great helpmeet of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And you know, we are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan and in Scripture that the messengers of Allah are in their relationship with Allah as a wife is to a husband.
That's right.
As a woman is to a man, in that they don't seek to compete. They seek to reflect. And so here is the wife of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and one of the premier Islamic scholars on the earth, and saying to us, she refers to this, think of the millions of words that the minister has delivered, and she refers to this as one of the most impacting addresses of his worldwide mission. So she goes on, it's a very powerful article, and it's very strong, as you see in the heading, "Opposition to the Black Man and Indigenous Family." And I just want to get in here because we're starting to wind down and definitely hear more from my co-host and contributor. But I want to say, too, some things have taken place this week. First of all, again, as I mentioned, the revival or the resurrection is Brother Ridgely always talks about, they continue to dig up the body of our slain brother, Malcolm X, because in that is their tool of divisiveness. They know that it has the capacity to divide the black community from Minister Farrakhan. And secondly, it is a way to attack the domestic life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so we're going to have to get proactive on this issue and not just hit back and sit down, but keep this thing coming 24/7. It's time to go to war. And
right.
I just saw a war movie, in fact, this past weekend, Brad Pitt's movie, Fury, World War II. And, you know,
right.
when
mm-hmm.
there's a war going on, there's no breaks.
No.
You know, you don't go and say, well, I'm going to the game, or I'm going to go sit down or go get with my woman. I'll be back in a couple of days. You got bullets and bombs coming at you 24/7.
That's right.
And that's where the minister is. He's constantly in battle, and we have to get there with him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you say you go deal with this more next week, and I'd be glad to get into that. But you know,
yes.
in terms of the domestic life, here we have Mother Tynetta, one of the wives of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and she has turned out to be a Islamic scholar and a great representative, not only a Muslim, but of a Muslim woman and of a woman, period. So this is the product of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as was Malcolm, as was Muhammad Ali, as is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So those who want to talk about the messenger's domestic life, we can talk about it next week. But
let's talk about it. That's right. That's right.
Produce?
Yeah, let's come. Yeah, let's. We have to do that from now on. You want to talk about the domestic life? Let's talk about it.
That's right.
Because we want you to see what a man of God produces.
That's right.
That's what we want you to see. And also, the autopsy report of the Michael Brown
yes.
Came out. And just as an example to show how it is a royal waste of time to deal with white people, Natalie, I forgot her last, Morales on a Today show read her little sheet of paper with the news this morning. Michael Brown, the autopsy report showed he was shot 9 times. One of the bullet wounds was in the hand, lending credence to the officer's testimony that
what?
There was a struggle. Yeah, that's what I said.
What?
See,
now.
Why are we even desirous of being around somebody like that? The way
Man.
The way their minds work.
What? Don't work.
You know, first of all, I'm appalled at the 9 times.
Come on.
But you're dealing with the being shot in the hand. My perception of him being shot in his open hand is he had his hands up.
Right.
But when you're
That's
dealing
right.
with a people made by one of our scientists in the nature of rebellion against God, Dr. Yacoub said as a 6-year-old child to his uncle, I'm going to make a people to do what? Rule over you. These people
Come
are
on.
Not made to be our equal in their mind. It is not
That's
in
right.
them. It is not in them. And so if you reject the narrative of history of the black man and white man as given through the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you can never resolve this problem.
That's right.
It's not resolvable without the root truth.
That's right.
So that occurred this week as well. And, of course, there was another breach of the White House fence. And my husband was telling me earlier, he said, well, you know, this was staged so that it could counter what happened. So this time, I guess they heard us talking about the dogs. So they brought out the German shepherds to bring down the intruder. So that was staged this week. And, of course, now breaking news, there is a doctor in New York who has tested positive for Ebola. That's on
They're
the
coming.
News as we speak.
Wow.
So as the minister said, down there, you're talking about a biological weapon.
Yes. That's right.
There's nothing natural. There's nothing in nature that's Ebola. It's not in nature. And to show you that it's being controlled. And by the way, didn't the minister say during the message that he had gotten some information that somebody filed a patent?
Right.
On the virus? Right.
That's right.
Mm.
That's what he said.
Mm-mm.
So how do you get a patent on a virus?
And Monsanto is trying to produce a vaccine to patent that as well. So they patent the killer and that which will save you, and they're going to force people to take the real killer, which is the vaccine. So these, you know, they got to get to participate in that madness.
Thank you. That's the killer. What are we taught about Yaqub's method of producing the Caucasian? The needle. Okay? Injections. And I just want to give you all this. And I know we gotta wind it down, but I wanted to get this out as well. The Ebola virus, since 2012, and I'm reading this from WHO, World Health Organization, compared with malaria, Ebola afflicts and kills far fewer people. The five West African countries currently battling Ebola recorded nearly 280,000 malaria deaths in 2012, or about two-fifths of all malaria deaths worldwide. From the start of the Ebola breakout through October the 3rd, more than 300 times as many people have died from AIDS as from Ebola. HIV/AIDS has killed 1.28 million. Tuberculosis, this is just since the outbreak, 1.04 million tuberculosis, 501,000 malaria, and 3,330 to Ebola. And the thing that we got to understand, brothers and sisters, all of this is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
See, the only time we even hear about the largest continent in the world, the continent with almost all of the world's richest resources, yet the only time we hear about it is to hear about millions of our people dying from some sort of disease or poverty or war. Nothing else goes on.
Right.
According to what we're getting from Western news, yet white people flock there.
Come on.
Right.
That's right.
Now, they're there on safari.
That's right.
Living
That's right.
like gods. They're in all of the major cities in the different countries in Africa.
That's right.
And I love what this, what's this man's name? Jonathan Stewart, The Daily Show. What he said the other day, it was one of the best things I heard all week. He said, he played all these clips of the Bill Riley's and Rush Limbaugh, et cetera, saying, we should ban travel from West Africa into the United States. That's what all of the right-wing whites are saying. Let's ban travel. Let's not allow anybody to come into America from Africa. He puts up a map showing the slave trade and said, man, I know most black people wish you'd have had that law 200 years ago. He said, because daggone it, the traffic was heavy then.
Wow.
Get that man a bow tie. Get that man a bow tie.
Give the man a bow tie. So I want us to invite him as well as Donald Sterling to save his day.
There you go. There you go.
Give the man a bow tie and a bean pie. My man said, yes. He said, I know black people are saying, man, I wish that was the law. And he showed the slave, he showed West Africa, you know, the little dots across the Atlantic. to the coast. You were bringing us in for days, weren't you? During the slave trade.
Comedians can get away with it. Tell the absolute truth.
Nobody else can say that. Right.
Right.
Can't get away with it.
That's exactly right.
That was great.
Yes, sir. But to the sister's point, go ahead, Brother Terrence. Yes, sir.
No, I mean, I just wanted to throw in something that just something that just kind of not what it is off the subject. But when I came back into Florida, it was two things that happened to me. Well, one, Florida, my best friend, he lives in West Palm Beach, and so as I left Jamaica, you know, I landed in Miami. It was two different worlds. But one of the things he stays in West Palm Beach, but he took me to Palm Beach. And when I was in Palm Beach, it was like a whole different world, a whole separate reality. I didn't see black people over there. They had a grocery store that looked like a mansion, and they had valet parking out at the at the grocery store. And I say that because when we talk about separation, they really are separated already, and we fighting to do what they have already done. They have already separated themselves from us. A friend of mine was teaching at a school today. And I had to go way – it seemed like I was going out of town, but it wasn't out of town. It was in the same city, but it was in the side of town that I never go on that they live. So I say that to say that we're fighting to be away from people that have already moved away from us.
Yeah, they've
segregated don't understand,
us.
Yeah, they done pushed us over there, and they have already left so they can maintain their identity and their wealth and their sanity by not being around us, but we are the only ones that are still constantly trying to fight to be around them and help continue to build up their world.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. We're fighting to remain enslaved.
Right.
That's what we're fighting for.
Literally.
And as the brother that called earlier said, if nothing, you know, we have a Day of Atonement, and it was originally also a Day of Absence. Because the minister said if we just all took one day off, it would be so instantly clear that we're holding up this whole country.
That's right. Well, you know,
this country
could not
survive without us being under it, holding it up.
When the first Day of Atonement, you know, the brothers won them all, but the sisters stayed home, and the sisters got the keys to the vault. They got the computer code. They had to shut America down because the secretaries were gone.
Right. Literally.
That's exactly right. The administrative people, the underneath everything is them. Even when it comes to the invention of the automobile, that was a black man. And they stole it from him. They say Thomas Edison invented electricity or invented the electric. Well, first of all, you don't invent and electricity don't belong in the same sentence. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught, it's the most mysterious force in the universe. It's been here. Allah created himself out of the darkness of space, and that was a component of his self-creation, electricity. So there ain't no white man done anything with electricity except harness it in their time period. Okay? And if you think about it, 6,000 years, and it's really only in the last century time of rulership that they've basically come up out of crawling around like animals.
That's right.
It wasn't until Master Fadhil Muhammad came in 1930 that they made really the heavy-duty technological advancements. But it wasn't until we were out of slavery and they could, in the North, use the mind of the black man that they were able to harness electricity. They were able to have the automobile. They were able to begin seriously manufacturing on assembly lines. So they could not do any of this without us. And as Brother Terrence, you're saying, we are so deaf, dumb, and blind, and now we're purposely remaining like that. Because through the minister, the sun is shining in our face, and we're pretending it's dark outside.
Come on.
But as the brother said, if we would just take a day, like basketball, like the NBA, it is an outright absurdity that we are that entire industry and we will not stand up and take it from these people and tell them to get out.
That's
go
right.
Find your own revenue source.
Right.
We have the people, not only to, now, I'm not just talking about the athletes, but as the brother pointed out, when we had the Negro Baseball League, that's what really brought integration about,
right,
or laid the base for it. And if
that's
you look
right.
at Ken Burns' documentary on baseball, the All-American, the American pastime, baseball has always been the microcosm of the white mind. And so all of the racism, the bitter racism that we saw manifested in the history of baseball, and they had to go kicking and screaming into integration. But why did Branch Rickey, who recruited Jackie Robinson, do it? Because they saw what we were achieving by ourselves. And we were on the verge of economic independency just with that industry. And when you couple that with sowing for ourselves, growing food for ourselves, building our own houses, because they wouldn't do anything for us. We had to do it for ourselves. And that was the beauty of the minister so clear on Sunday, because I know a lot of people in Jamaica thought they were free.
Right.
Until the minister came down there and made it plain.
Wow.
They think because it's black and it's in the sunshine that they're free.
And you know, and the reality is, by the way the minister lays it out, he gives the clear definition of what it means to be free. You know, so as he was saying that, you know, when you leave your parents' home, why are you coming back asking for that which you should be able to supply for yourself? You know, if you got to come back and ask me for what you need, then you need to stay in the room that I provided for you. If not, then go on your own and establish your own territory and establish your own self. And if you can't do that, then you are not free because you're still under
exactly
a rule.
Right. That's right. Yeah, you think just because you can walk around and you're not being,
right.
you're not in chattel slavery, you're not being held hostage, that you are free.
You know, and I love that one of the leaders of the Rastafarians, when he spoke, and he was talking about things that they can learn from the Nation of Islam, he said it three times, discipline, discipline. Discipline, and that's why you wind up not being free when you think you are, wind up in a state of captivity, because you're undisciplined in your behavior, in your buying habits, you're undisciplined. So, I mean, that was, to me, that was very deep. He's talking to his own, said, look, we need discipline if we're going to be free.
And that's what Master Father Muhammad said, that the nation, as far as registered members, would never be a mass movement, but that small number that were willing to subject themselves to the discipline would become the beacon of light for the rest of our people. And that's exactly what happened this past weekend in October on the 19th anniversary of the Million Man March. And so I just want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. We really thank Allah that the believers have made it back safely to these shores, and we're ready to get back to work for the mission of the resurrection of the dead. So may Allah bless all of us. Don't forget to listen to Dr. Ridgely's program on blogtalkradio.com on 7 o'clock p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, this Saturday at WVON. I will be on Elevated Places at 4 o'clock Central, 5 Eastern. We're going to deal with the assassination of Malcolm X. May Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahana. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.